This is an interview with Kenneth Raymond Wright on Tuesday, 9th of December 2014. The interview is for the Canterbury History Foundation, funded by the 2014 Canterbury Community History Award. The interviewer is Kim Youth. The interview is being recorded at 2323 Cobham Street, Spraydon in Christchurch. The interviewer will also be taking shorthand notes during this interview. And this is file number F002. So we'd got up to you being 18 and getting the letter that saw you in, off to camp at Burnham and Addington.
As I said, we had the ball at the Winter Gardens. And the next morning, full kit, marched to Burnham with a hangover. And so we settled in at Burnham, and I was there about 3 months, and I was entertaining as well as
being trained.
And I wasn't doing any I wasn't doing any dance practice, of course, but they allowed me to have my tap mat.
Is that like a wooden
board?
Yeah, I know.
A tap mat is a bit like a Venetian blind. It's a series of flat pine slats.
Right, yes.
Joined together with matting on the back. And it rolls out.
Right, okay.
And it's generally about 4 foot by eight.
Mm-hmm.
And you can practice on that if you've got nowhere else to practice.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have it on the concrete. I got that mat made by Mr. Hegan, made that mat for me when I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to practice on the concrete. It cost £5.
Gosh, yeah. So it would have been like mimicking a sprung surface, I guess, or...
It was a flat surface.
Yeah.
But it had a crackle to it, you know.
Mm.
You could rip along the boards if you wanted to. I could go into a story of tap mats, how they arrived, how they... What, that's a...
Probably too much information, isn't it?
Another story altogether.
Yeah. So, you were saying you were doing a lot of dancing, and that led to a problem, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing a lot of, as well as tap, I was doing acrobatic eccentric.
Acrobatic what, sorry?
Eccentric.
Eccentric, what's that?
Funny steps.
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, eccentric, I see what you mean, yes, yeah.
I do all sorts of peculiar steps with them. I used to do it with a blank face.
Right.
I won every time for 5 years with that dance. And when I was 10 and when I was 15. I never forget that dance.
But because you were, I suppose because you were sometimes doing it when you weren't properly warmed up, though, that it led to...
Yes. And I, by doing knee splits without warming up or practice, I blew the cartilage. So that was... And I wouldn't let them... I didn't want them to operate.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor, who was a Dr. Will, a German specialist, put me in plaster for 3 months and sent me up to Hemner Remedial Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I came back from Hemner, back to Burnham, they wanted to use needles to improve it, and I rejected that.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me to the Rotorua remedial camp.
Right, and that was about January, early 43, that would have been.
Yeah, that's when I got into the Blitzkrieg.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I got there, I found they were training for a show, if you were fit enough or talented enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined in. And I taught a team of six boys to do a ballet and a tap dance. The ballet was called the Blue Bath Ballet.
Blue Basque Ballet.
Blue Bath.
Yeah. Oh, Blue Bath Ballet, right.
Yeah. Which is the name of the baths up there. So.
Right.
And the tap was just show business, you know, so it was another thing.
So they were in tutus?
Eh?
They were in tutus.
They were in tutus.
Mm-hmm.
They did it straight, is the word. Not funny. And they were very well trained. And they were the hit of the show.
Right. So how long did you have, you know, to put that show together before you started going out on tour? Was it sort of quite quick?
I suppose about 3 months before we went on the show at Rotorua to packed houses. And it was so successful that they decided to take it on tour.
Right.
So we toured the Upper North Island.
And this was as Blitzkrieg 2, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, Blitzkrieg 2 it was mm-hmm. called. And we finished up at His Majesty's in Auckland. Or was it the Civic?
Or the Civic, I think you told me Civic. The Civic, yeah.
Civic.
Mm.
Well, the elephants.
Right.
So
what was your, you know, what particular, did you do a solo act for that?
Yeah, I danced with the team doing the tap. And I danced the tap solo and an acrobatic eccentric.
Right. And so how many towns and, you know, was it quite a, it was a tour of the North Island, but just yeah. some of the...
Well, we did Rotorua, of course, and then we did Hamilton, and then a smaller town, and Tauranga. And
it was very successful, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then we went to Auckland. Did about a week at each place.
Mm-hmm. And it raised a considerable sum of money.
£70,000. Which was a lot of money in those days.
And that was for the...
Auckland Patriotic Fund.
Right. And so the result of all of that was your knee came right.
Yeah, well, all the practice and that strengthened all the muscles again and all the dancing and it came right again.
Mm-hmm.
It's been right ever since I've danced.
Right. And so...
I've danced for 80 years on it.
Right. Must have done the trick, eh?
Yes.
And so that was back to Burnham then, wasn't it? And
I went straight when I went back to Rotorua, the doctor examined me and said, "Well, there's nothing wrong with your legs. Are you swinging the lead?"
Mm.
So I was so wild that I went straight back down to Burnham. And joined the 10th
reinforcements.
Reinforcements.
Mm. And pretty much not long after that, you were on the boat to Cairo.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think that was, so you'd had a reasonable amount of military training by then, don't you? And,
yes.
Yeah, and did they tell you like straight away at that point what area you were going to be assigned to?
No. When we first arrived in Mardi camp, the story was you got 3 months, I think it was 3 months, or 6 months, or 3 months, battle training.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, just to go back a step, so that ship you were on, the Q ship, I think I worked out that must be the New Amsterdam.
That's right.
So it was a Dutch ocean liner converted to a troop ship.
Right.
So that is
right.
So where did you leave from? Can you remember what
Littleton.
Port? Oh, it was Littleton. And what was that send-off like? Were there a lot of people there? Or?
Oh, crowded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your parents would have been there, I suppose. Family.
Family was just be all there, but I really can't remember. I suppose I was sitting there waving, you know, but just too much to take in at all.
And did you have any idea what to expect once you got to the other end of that trip?
Didn't have a clue.
No.
Well, when we arrived, you know, it was totally foreign, you know. I mean, there was flies and blowflies and sandhills, you know.
Mm.
And
in a different looking population.
Well, they all spoke Arabic, so we didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
And I think you mentioned that trip over, you actually did dance on that trip out. You danced?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I danced going on the boat going over. There wasn't any organised concert party, but I got up on the mess tables and I tried to do a dance for them. But the ship kept swaying.
Oh dear.
And I did a few slides along the mess tables, but I finished the dance. But it was the most difficult dance I think I've ever done.
Sounds slightly dangerous too.
On a moving...
Yeah.
The mess tables were across the ship, you see. And as the ship went sideways, of course, everything went and I went down this side and then up again.
And that ship, I think you told me, had another nickname apart from the Q ship.
The Custard Ship. For some reason, they must have... bought Edmund's custard powder out of business, because we had custard for breakfast, custard for lunch, and custard for tea.
That doesn't sound too much fun. So arrival, yes, at Mardi camp.
That was
what
out,
were your sort of first impressions?
Cairo.
Yeah,
about I don't know five miles from Cairo. I don't know, something like that.
And so once that initial training was over, were you then assigned to...
Well, what happened, I actually danced in the canteen there.
Mm.
And I did an audition for the Kiwi Concert Party, but I didn't get in.
Mm.
And I was put... we did some training in the desert. trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, they put me in workshops, which I was doing valve grinds for the trucks, repair work, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I became an expert.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that until we were shipped across to
Taranto.
Taranto.
Yeah. And you talked about, you know, that the experience of being bivouacked in the desert for the first time. Because I think it was, you'd met Eddie Hegan, hadn't you, at that camp?
Oh, yes, yes. I never mentioned that, did I?
Yeah, yeah. So tell me about that little story.
Yeah. As he said, I'll get you into the Kiwi Concert Party. He said, that'll be a piece of cake. You won't have to do any fighting. It didn't work out. Mm. There was already a tap dancer on there.
Right.
And I was better, so it had to be a unanimous decision.
Right.
From the cast. And he was the dissenting voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter. I had a better life anyway.
Yeah, well, you say you got to know the US forces.
Yes.
Entertainment unit in Cairo. So
yes. Well, while we were in Māori camp, some of the boys mentioned how lucky the Americans were that they had their own cabaret with local French and Arab girls. You know, but you couldn't get in. There was a MP on every level,
mm-hmm.
and it was six stories high. So I went to their, I don't know, what do you call it?
Not their HQ or something.
Well, no, it was their entertainment unit in the city. I think it was looking after the troops and giving them leave and whatever, you
mm-hmm.
know, helping them around the town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them, you've got a cabaret each week. They said, yes. I said, would you like a tap dancer? They said, how good are you? I said, Fred Astaire doesn't come up to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a pass to go. So it was a great experience walking up the stairs past all these big MPs with guns and flashing my pass. And when I got up at the top, there's this beautiful rooftop cabaret with palm trees and a beautiful orchestra and American officers and their dancing partners. That's a good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I entertained them. And they thought I was just marvellous. So I could walk around afterwards, free drinks from every little cubbyhole in the place where they were sitting. So I did that every Saturday night. Much to the envy of my
yes.
colleagues.
So how many... was that just you performing there?
That's me.
Yeah, okay. And so that would have been like several dancers or whatever, like how many... How long did you perform for each time for those shows?
Oh, about 15 minutes, I suppose, would be like...
So did you dress up or... Yeah.
No, I didn't. I didn't for that particular... Show I just danced in uniform,
right? Yeah,
same as I did at Barry. I just had uniform on.
I think you were saying it was also at Māori where you discovered cigarettes for the first time.
Oh yes, well when we were out on our little training trips into the desert, we bivouacked for the night, not far from the front line, and the guns were going off. We were sitting in a tent, and I had I was doing a few shivers, hearing the guns, and one of the old hands turned to me and said, "Squire Wallard," which I think meant little man.
Mm.
He said, "What you need is a cigarette," and being a dancer, I had never smoked, and he gave me a Victory V cigarette,
mm-hmm.
which was full of weevils and went pop crackle as you smoked it.
But it helped the nerves.
But it helped the nerves.
Right, yeah. And so you did
it. Unfortunately, it made a smoker of me for the next 60 years.
Yes.
I gave up when I was 60.
Right, yeah.
50 years, anyway.
50 years, yeah.
No, not quite that.
So,
40 years.
So the Allied invasion of the Italian mainland began in September 43, and
yes.
New Zealand troops started arriving at Taranto and, the following month.
That's
so,
right.
So you can't have been in North Africa, in Cairo for very long. It must have been... It can't have been more than a couple of months because the Q ship left August, so...
Yeah.
So it must have been...
They left in August, September, October, maybe November before we landed.
Oh, right, okay. Well, no, it would have taken about 6 weeks to get over. Anyway, it would have
only... it wouldn't take 3 months.
About a month to get over.
About a month. So October.
October, November. You might not have...
October, November, December.
Yeah.
When did we go?
When
we landed...
So New Zealand troops first started arriving at Taranto in early October 43, so you might have been a bit later. You might have been
necessary. Yes. The troops, they were the fighting troops. They had to make a bridgehead.
Mm.
They had to go up. And we came after. I think I was about
three months.
About 3 months there. Because I did some dancing, I did some truck work out in the city, and I was in the tent doing.
So it probably would be late 43.
A couple of months anyway. Yeah. I would think so. I would say 3 months.
Yeah.
Guess you were.
And so, you still arrived in Taranto, though, did you? When you first came in.
Yes, we arrived in Taranto. The first night we slept, we didn't have our trucks at that time. I remember the first night in Taranto, we slept in a vineyard and I slept underneath a big bunches of grapes and I ate them through the night. That was my first night in Italy.
Right.
And I ate the grapes.
Can you remember? So you got over there just in some kind of, you don't remember what it was, just a little ship?
It was a cargo type ship.
Right.
We all just sat. We just stood in the well.
Right. So it
was
uneventful.
Wasn't that big a trip?
No.
You know, so
yeah.
We just all crowded on the deck.
Right. And you were saying that initially you were with petrol company. You think?
Yeah.
And I think you'd also talked about how initially you were driving motorbikes and acting as a kind of gopher or
My memory's a bit vague on this one, but I trained as a motor. When I was in Addington, going back, I got my motorcycle license. So I actually had civilian heavy duty in motorcycle licenses. So they put me, when I arrived in Italy, they put me on a courier bike, motorcycle, Harley Davidson, big bike, and the memory I've got is riding hell for leather up and down the convoy on a muddy clay road, reporting back and forwards. I did that. I don't know for how long. But I finished up saying to the CEO, this is not me. I can't handle it. Nine stone on a Carly Davidson wasn't very good. It was hard work.
Yes. Now, you did sort of mention that...
So I got a truck.
Right, yeah. And you sort of mentioned that in that late 1943 period, that when things had kind of bogged down at the Sangro River. It was around that time that the Americans got in contact with you again. Would that be right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Weimar Park, look, the name of the city is here. It's outside Bari.
Right, right. We can maybe go back to that. Unless you want to look it up now. Yeah.
No, whether I can find it.
No, okay. So it's just outside.
And I'll give it to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
I'll look it up. I'll give you the name to where it was. I wanted to have that for you today.
Right, yeah. No, that's fine.
But I've
So late 1944 anyway, you would have been just outside Bari.
The petrol company was established about 5 miles out, I think. I'll give you the name of the town. There's a little town 5 miles out of Bari. And it was Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we weren't moving because there was no movement going on at that stage.
Mm.
So while we were at Christmas Eve, which was a muddy, snowy day, an American wagon, I call it a wagon, arrives at camp headquarters, and the call went out over the speakers for me to report to headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, what have I done wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, they said, get your shoes, get your gear, you're going to entertain for the American forces in an international concert, and you're going to represent New Zealand, so make sure you do a good job. So I went in with the Americans, and we went to this, we were taken to I think it was a converted church. It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of Bari. It had
bells or no?
Had, what do you call those? Where you sit up high.
Oh, right. Like a. Yeah, anyway. An upper level. Yeah.
Yeah. Up the top. So
yeah.
A big vaulted ceiling.
Mm.
And it had a. There was a 30-piece orchestra, Italian, a host of entertainers, and it had a beautiful marble floor. I had a photo, you know, of me dancing. I had a photo of me dancing there.
Mm.
Now I remember.
Mm. Might have to have a look through later, yeah.
Not one, wasn't among the war photos.
Mm. So what was it like to...
So I danced on this tile, brick tile floor. Every beat sounded like a machine gun.
Mm.
And this huge circle of people in this huge... auditorium, if you like to call it that.
Mm.
Clapped every step.
Mm.
And I was sort of in my element there. It was fantastic dance.
Mm.
A fantastic experience it was. Fantastic.
And I think you said the highlight was...
The highlight to me
mm.
was... Italian girl singing Ave Maria up on the balcony.
Mm.
It was quite moving. Mm. So after that, that night I billeted with the Americans. And they took me to their officer's mess, which was a restaurant.
Mm.
And I had Christmas dinner. Turkey in the trimmings, plum pudding, and lots of lovely wine. And then they ferried me home. What a Christmas I had.
Right, right. And it would not have been quite so much fun for the ones who didn't.
Well, they were in the mud and snow, and I think they had pretty well. They tried to do the worst, but it would be potatoes and peas and plum pudding, if they were lucky, in the snow.
And you were saying that at that time, you know, there was a period of time when you were taking, you know, there was petrol being ferried to and fro.
Oh, right. Yes. As when they were ready to cross the Sanyo, when they put the pressure on the Germans, they needed a lot of petrol in a hurry. And we had to get it up there in the one day. And we achieved that. We made the trips back and forwards from where we were camped. I'll give you the name. And the Sanyo, and I'll get you the amount of petrol.
It's quite a long distance, isn't it?
Yeah.
We went. What do you reckon? How many, 150 miles or something? I don't know. It would have been quite a distance.
Well, we did it.
Yeah.
We did it in 24 hours. We travelled back and forwards night and day for 24 hours and delivered thousands of gallons of petrol.
Right.
I'll give you that in detail next time you come.
Right.
All right?
Yeah, although I'm going to have enough to probably put this together, but... And some, yeah, so
you
would
put it together.
Yeah, actually, you might just take a brief pause now, just until we do the next bit. Yeah,
I can give you some.